Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Noteworthy. On this week's episode, we're joined by drummer and lead singer of Astor House, John Thornburg. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy.
We are live. No more secrets now.
All right, sweet. Okay, well, yeah, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so this is my podcast where I interview Seattle artists and musicians, just kind of showcasing the music that's here in Seattle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to start off with an introduction, just kind of say who you are, your band.
Absolutely. That's always a dangerous question. I am, apparently, I am John Thornburg. I'm in the band called Astor House. I sing and play drums and sometimes guitar in the band. And I'm psychotic, and that's about all I got.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Astor House. You've had some, you know, recent music out and
yeah.
A recent album. So you guys are pretty active, making new stuff, but, how do you all, kind of come together and, start the band, and how was it formed?
Yeah. Well, so, the guitar player is my brother, so we're kind of doomed, you know, till the end of time. So, that's kind of how that worked out. Our bass player, Julio, is somebody that I met in, I think it was junior high, and he had this notorious reputation for being very klutzy. So I knew him before I had spoken to him because, like, every class he would be in, there'd be, like, beakers broken and cameras shattered. And I think, I mean, I don't know if I'm telling the story right, but I think he accidentally tripped one of the teachers and she hurt her leg, or I don't know. So, like, I knew of him before I had met him, and he was we got really close, and we became very, very close friends. And we just thought it'd be really cool, me and my brother, if he started to learn how to play the bass guitar, because we liked him so much. And then, so he literally picked it up, I think, when we started, like, jamming together. So we were, like, you know, my brother was showing him how to play during the jam session. So, yeah, it kind of started from there, and, you know, and here we are. So
that's cool. So, like, how many years ago was that
when
the three of you came together?
Yeah, so, you know, that was about 10 years ago now. So we've been together for a while. But I think it's been really cool because we're all so close, you know. You know, me and my brother always talk about how we could always do so much better. Like, in, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, my brother's like, I could get a different singer. And I'm like, well, I could get a different guitar player, you know, like, but we all just get along so well that, I think that's kind of been what sustained us, is just our personalities, meshing really well. And, you know, we kind of think of personality over any sort of skill. And it shows. But no, so we've been very happy, and we're all really, really close. And so that's kind of how that all came to be, you know.
Nice. So you're the drummer of the band.
Yeah.
And then your brother's the guitarist?
Yeah, he plays guitar. I sing, and it's weird. I'm the lead singer and play the drums. And yeah, my brother's on the guitar. And yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I always think it's, like, super cool when the drummer sings for some reason in a band. I really like when that happens.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, how was it? So when did you and your brother start playing music?
Yeah, so, you know, me and him started playing music when he picked up the guitar. And he was really young when he picked up the guitar. I think he was like 7. So I don't want to do math on a podcast, or else people will go, oh God, this is embarrassing. But yeah, so when Russ was 7, and I must've been 11, if that's math I can do. So I was 11 when we started kind of playing together, and it was just so much fun. You know, I mean, I kind of, you know, one thing I'm lucky, with in my life is that I'm very close with him. I know that there are some families who don't have that luxury of being very close, but that's one of the things that have worked out for me and my brother, is we trust each other. So we just stuck with it. So
yeah, that's great. Yeah. So yeah, were you guys like at age 11 and 7, were you guys like already like making music together, or was it more so you guys were just kind of like practicing your instruments together?
We told ourselves that we were making music. It probably sounded like, you know, animal ritualistic murder to neighbors and our parents and stuff. But yeah, you know, we were really into like Led Zeppelin, and we would, you know, say that we were writing songs, but it would just be, oh, this is, you know, Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin. Oh, this is Black Dog, you know, but we called it our own music. So, you know, and yeah, we're just total bullshit artists. And, but it was a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah. So how were you two introduced to music then? 'Cause you started playing music at a young age, but
yeah,
I'm sure you were introduced to music before then. So
yeah. You know, my parents were partiers. And so they still, I saw them both last night and they were out of their minds drunk. but they were huge music fans, and, you know, they just, you know, the classic thing of, you know, when we're, you know, in diapers, they'd have, you know, the Doors playing, and me and my brother both got kind of eerily obsessed with Jim Morrison when we were really young. And yeah, so it's literally our parents' mistakes are now our own mistakes, and, you know, that kind of, you know, and then if I have kids, of course, you know, pass on those mistakes too, so.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, you mentioned, like, the Doors and Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
Did you have any other musical inspirations, or do you have any now, you know, that you always go back to?
Yeah, you know, I guess when I was really, really young, it was a lot of that, like, I guess you could say, like, classic rock, you know, acid rock, all that, you know, really psychedelic stuff. So, you know, I was, you know, 7 years old going to first grade going, hey, everybody, you know, let's take the trip kind of thing. But yeah, no, it was certainly, you know, a lot of that 60s stuff when I was really young. And then, you know, when I was a teenager, I got really, you know, of course, when you're angry, you get into Nirvana. And I got really into, like, bands like Wilco. Smashing Pumpkins. I fell in love with the Smashing Pumpkins. A band called Chocolate Genius is amazing. Nico Case, Bob Dylan, Neil Young. I don't know. Like, it. What I listen to doesn't really make sense. Like, my Spotify recommendations, it makes no sense. Like, when they shuffle songs that they think I'd like, because it's just all different genres, you know. But yeah. So I mean, I kind of like it all, which is cool, you know?
Yeah. So as a band, so you guys, formed like 10 years ago, which was a while ago.
Yeah.
But were you guys performing back then? So was that in high school when you guys were a band?
Or? Yeah. You know, I think it was sophomore, junior, something. So we just kind of played around. I mean, we're still kind of doing except with the pandemic obviously happening right now, but yeah, you know, we were just kind of doing what we're doing now, just kind of, you know, sending out emails to places, and if they'd let us play, we'd go play. And so we just kind of played. One of our favorite places to play was The Lab, which was attached to the Seattle Drum School. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Unfortunately got bulldozed down a couple years back, but that was a really, really great venue to play. Everybody there was just so down to earth. You could buy Seattle Drum School t-shirts for a nickel. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. It was just a fantastic place to play. But yeah, I mean, you know, we just played around here and there, and that's, yeah.
Yeah, nice. And then, so yeah, you've been doing that for the past, you know, like 10 years, so... How has that been, just like being in the Seattle music scene? Are there any specific venues that you kind of remember experiences from, or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I remember really, really, especially fondly, like some of the first shows, you know, because you just dream about it when you're a kid. And it was like that kind of one thing where you have an expectation about it and you build it up so large. And actually playing a show was better than my expectations. Like, you know how you get really excited about something and you build it up, And then all of a sudden you do it and you go, wow, that was a load of shit. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't as cool as I thought it would be. But that was kind of one of the few things where I was building it up like a castle in my mind, and then actually doing it, it was so much more incredible. It was so much more incredible. So I remember, yeah, really like early on playing like places like the Lab and different like teen venues like the Redmond Firehouse. If actually, where do you live?
Right now I'm living in Seattle.
Oh,
in the
yeah.
District.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the Redmond Firehouse and a place called K-Tub, which was in Kirkland. When we, you know, became of drinking age, one of our favorite venues was always like the High Dive. And we got to play the Crocodile a few times, which was, you know, really crazy, out of this world. But yeah, those, you know, flukes. So, so that was really fun. So,
yeah, that's great. Yeah. So when, I guess like you and your brother were young, was that always the plan, kind of? Like, were you always dreaming of, like, you know, like making a band and then performing and that stuff? Was that always in your mind, or did it just kind of happen in a way?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I feel like as the longer that we've been playing together, it's changed, you know, along the way. Like, I think at first we, you know, it was like, okay, we just want to play a show. You know, that was the goal, play a show. And then, you know, I think kind of in human nature, then you start doing shows and you become used to it and you go, okay, what's the next best thing? And so you're almost kind of chasing like this carrot in front of you, you know, like on, you know, those like where people get on treadmills and, you know, they got this like string attached to their head and there's like this dangling fruit and you're trying to run at it, but it keeps getting further away. So I think we kind of made that common human error of like setting higher goals, higher standards. And so it was like, okay, well, let's play bigger shows. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then I think more recently, just as we've kind of, you know, the pandemic put a lot in perspective and, you know, just getting older and everything. And so I think we've kind of come back to this state of we would just love to play one show again. Because, you know, it kind of got, you know, it was removed and it was taken away from, you know, all the Seattle musicians. And so I think we were kind of not taking it for granted, but I mean, I guess in a way we were taking the shows for granted. So I think things have, you know, over the years kind of been realigned and reassessed just from different experiences. But it's just been such a fun time and such a fun thing to have in your life, you know?
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, so how's the pandemic kind of been affecting you guys? I don't know. Yeah, what's it been like being banned without shows to perform at?
Right. Well, yeah. You know, it's interesting because, you know, luckily, me and my brother, we live in an apartment together. So we're, like I said, we're doomed. We're stuck. Right. So me and him have been able to, you know, keep writing music, and our bass player, Julio, we see him, every so often. We keep a distance and mask up, obviously. And, but yeah, no, so we've been lucky enough to keep things going. But yeah, it has been an interesting adjustment because before the pandemic hit, it was crazy that we hadn't done it before the pandemic, but we decided to make a full-length record. Like, we were like, oh, we want to do like 13 songs and, you know, make it kind of feel like a big thing for us, like a more of a story rather than, oh, these are a group of five okay songs, let's put them together. So we kind of got together and wrote a record that we were really, really proud of, and we were gonna, like, you know, tour for it and book a bunch of shows, and you know, a lot of bands had this similar thing where, you know, the pandemic hit and then everything was, you know, thrown off the wagon and you kind of have to reassess what's going on. And and so we were trying to figure out, like, well, do we still put it out, you know, because we obviously couldn't play and support it and everything. So but we actually decided to put it out because, you know, gosh, it's something positive that we're very, you know, proud of. And so we're like, well, let's just, you know, put a little more positivity out into the world. And, you know, if five people hear it, that's great. You know, we wish it was 500 or 5,000 or 50,000. But, you know, it's like it's our little part of putting something positive out. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. So that was kind of another, like, realignment moment, I think, for us, is just going, at the end of the day, you know, you can't plan what's going to happen. None of us saw this coming. So, you know, you can bury your head in the sand and complain, or you can roll with the punches and adapt, you know, and we're all trying our best to do that, but it's hard for, yeah. It's a lot of our friends are suffering and, you know, we're suffering too. Not so fun to talk about, but you know, there's some good stuff among all the horse shit that's going on this year. So,
yeah. So when was that record released? It was released this year, but was it in the summer or?
Yeah. I think it was, in August we put it out and, yeah. And there it sits. So
nice. So had you already finished the album pretty much, before everything kind of closed down?
Yeah. What was weird is, and this is why it was so funny, is because we had finished it, a year before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was done for a long time, and so like our whole plan was to like, okay, we're gonna like, because we were so proud of it, we're like, okay, let's like really see if we can book a tour and, you know, do all this, like, let's see if we can do it right, because, you know, we would talk to people like, oh, you're doing it wrong, and I'm like, wait, what if we tried to do it right? We never thought of it like that. so we were trying to kind of get all of our ducks in a row, and then of course everything goes horribly wrong, and you know, that's just, I think that's an interesting kind of life lesson is, at least for me, is you know, you can't really build up this perfect thing and expect it to go like you dream it to, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So the 2020 record, that was your first record.
Yeah.
But in 2017, you guys released Errors That Smile.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Is that an EP or?
I think it was like, I never know how it's classified. I think it is an EP because if I remember it, I'm going to be super wrong about this. But I feel like I've heard, is it 10 songs and up is a full record? And I think it's like, I think it's 10, but just, yeah, despite like what it actually is, what, you know, like the people say, it felt like an EP because it felt like just a conglomerate of songs that were pulled from different years and everything, and this was kind of like a concerted effort, and we thought like, let's actually like make a like kind of a, almost a story, and you know, and it kind of worked out. I'm really, yeah. Proud. I'm really proud of that record.
No, yeah, I've been I was listening to it right before I came on.
Oh, cool.
yeah, it's very good, I would say. So
thank nice you very job. Much.
Yeah. So going back to like 2017,
sure.
I guess that was your first thing that you guys put together. What was that like putting together an EP for the first time?
And yeah. Well, you know what's really interesting is that's like our first Astor House release, but before we had other releases under different names, and we've done a really good job hiding those. We've buried everything that we've could, you know, like if I see one of our old CDs laying out, I'm like, oh, okay, where's the hammer? And just start smashing it. Like, I'm like, I gotta see, I'm gonna have to call my friends who still have those CDs and be like, listen, you gotta give those back. You know, I'm still actively trying to hide the past for sure. But yeah, you know, so we did other releases under other names. You know, without going into too much detail, there was a lot of, negativity around those certain releases. We kind of got paired up with, you know, some people who weren't the best. And so it, like, there were a couple years where we put stuff out, but kind of in retrospect, looking back at all those releases, we were really stressed and we were really miserable and we didn't know what was going on. So Errors That Smile to me was like a really big celebration for us because we had this new band name and we had done everything ourselves. And so that to me was a very happy record. Even though the songs are probably sad, like it felt really good. It felt really good to do that because it felt like the first time of us getting away from a lot of negativity, which, you know.
Yeah, so it's kind of a new chapter.
Yeah, so, yeah, it felt really, really, really great to do that. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then your next record or EP, I guess, came out the year after.
Yeah.
I listened to both of those, and you can definitely hear your sound kind of evolve a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, how is that? Like, how do you think you guys kind of grew from your first release to that second one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because I think it's all kind of purely accidental, you know, like just the longer that we're together, we're just kind of getting to know each other's songwriting styles on a deeper level, you know? And I think there's this kind of weird thing that me and my brother were talking about. I feel like we're getting out of our own way more and more, where we would kind of like take a song and be like, well, this song has to have this part, or this song has to make so-and-so feel this way, you know, and we're going to like direct it into that perfect square peg, right? Or this you know. But now I feel like we're kind of getting out of our own way in that we just literally let the song be the song and let the song serve itself. And some horrible songs have come from that, but they've been so fast. So we're writing the bad songs quicker, and then along the way we find something that we're happy with. So there's more songs coming out, certainly. But you know, I think we just take it a little bit less seriously. But in that, I feel like we're a little more free.
Nice. Yeah, and then, so for your 2020 record, the one that came out this year, how long did that take you to make from like start to finish?
Like how long it took to like create in the studio, kind of thing?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, we don't have money, so we were like, we have to get in and get out. So, gosh, because it was a while ago. I think we did the instrumentals, being like drums, bass, guitar, overdubs, keyboards, and everything. I think that was 3 days, 2 or 3. We had to go very quick. So, and then I think it was 2 days for vocals and other stuff on the top. So I mean, I don't know. I think it was 5 or 6 days. We had to go very fast.
Okay.
But yeah, no, we worked with brilliant guy named Julian Anderson, who's a close friend of ours, and he's a psychopath like us, so he had all these cool ideas. And at one point we were clogging on the ground to get like a rhythm track, like we were wearing heavy shoes and there were mics on the ground. Yeah, so
nice.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it only took like a week to record. But how, I don't know, how long did it take you guys to write it and kind of piece all the ideas together?
That's a little harder to say, because I think some songs, it's like this weird vibe where you have a song and it literally writes itself, and then you have some songs where you are kicking and screaming the whole way through and you just can't get it, you know. And then it's weird. Some of the songs were very, very quick. And then some of the songs, like, you know, maybe we had written like 6 months prior and we had to let it sit and we'd like come back to it and be like, oh, it still sucks, let's record it. Let's put it on the record, whatever, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's a little harder to, I guess, pinpoint. But yeah, I think most of the songs that we chose to record happened pretty quick. There was maybe about 10 or 12 that we wrote along with the record that we didn't record that took longer. I think we usually pick the songs to record that are quick, because I think we had gotten out of our own way in that when we wrote those certain songs. So there's probably 12 others that didn't make the record that we were like, nah, this sucks. But the record, we're like, this doesn't suck as much as the other stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, yeah. So what have you guys been up to lately? So you released it in the summer, and how did that feel when you released it, and like kind of, I don't know, how's it been since then?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's we've been missing playing shows, definitely. But I think we're just feel so lucky that we were able to release it. And I mean, you know, have people like you listen to it, and you know, like there's just, you know, I this sounds, you know, really weird, but I get really excited just to literally show some of my friends, you know. It's weird to say, but I'm like, I can't wait for my best friend to hear this, you know. Yeah. Like, and so I mean, it's been really cool to circulate some of this music with close friends. And then I mean, like, you know, I don't know you very well, obviously, like, but it's cool that you heard it too. So I mean, it's it's been really, really a positive thing, and I'm really happy we chose to release it. And but yeah, we really certainly miss playing shows. And but yeah, no, I'm luckily I'm still able to be working, which is fantastic. And I'm back in school right now, so I don't have much of a life anymore. But so I've been keeping busy, which is probably why I'm not having a mental breakdown right now. I find in the times when I don't have much to do, that's when I go, oh my God, and I just, you know, start melting and start flipping out. But so I've been keeping busy. So I guess I'm probably just suppressing everything. Just down, get down there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So you've obviously been playing music for a long time, and we kind of touched on this earlier, but, you know, as kids, I'm sure you kind of dreamt of being on a stage and everything. So in retrospect, and, you know, with some nostalgia,
yeah,
like, how is that experience of performing and making music? Like, how do you feel about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I always kind of think of, like, what would, you know, 5-year-old John think of 28-year-old John, right? And because I think along the way I kind of had gotten lost a little bit, because I had, like, really, 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 really bad stage anxiety, to where I'd be throwing up, like, before and after shows. Like, it was this really, really weird thing. And then I had, like, passed out at a show, and, like, you know, like, you don't want to pass out in front of a crowd, you know, it wasn't the best. So I kind of, in a weird way, was able to single-handedly destroy my relationship with being on stage. I teach vocal lessons, and what's been really interesting, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm just going to go. I'll try to see if I can tie it back in. But I teach like a lot of, like, you know, children up to adults vocals, and a lot of them come in with a lot of stage fright and anxiety. And what has been really interesting is with working with some of these students, it's been almost a way of myself correcting my own BS I was believing before I would go up and sing and be on stage. And so through helping some of these kids get through it, they've accidentally been helping me almost work through some issues from the past of being afraid to be exposed on stage. So it's been this weird, you know, psychotic blessing to be with my students. But so tying it back, I think, to the 5-year-old John, I think the 5-year-old John would be really proud of me, you know, and he would have been horrified to see me throwing up and passing out in front of crowds. But I feel like I've worked through that. It's taken a long time, but now I'm not afraid to be on stage. And what was weird is I didn't start out being afraid to be on stage. I started out very confident, but I think along the way, you know, just certain, you know, I was making some bad thoughts become realities, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, what you think becomes your reality, you know. And I think everybody falls into those pit traps a little bit, you know. I like thinking about it almost holistically, like a journey, I think my 5-year-old self would be very happy. And
yeah,
so sure. it feels good, you know. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this was fun.
Oh yeah.
Looking forward to seeing what's to come with Astor House and listening
Same.
To yeah, so I'm looking forward to it, and yeah,
great.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, nice, thank you. It was great to talk to you, man.
Did you come from a broken home? She couldn't have held you very well. Your kind of evil doesn't just show up like this. Buster lip woman treating you like her. She couldn't have held you very well, very well, very well. Like some kind of saint. She couldn't have held you very well. Like some kind of saint. She couldn't have held you very well. Like some kind of saint. Like some kind of saint. What can I do? Cool.